You know what Paul said? We've been espoused to one husband. We're the bride of Christ. Isn't it interesting how the Scripture calls all of us sons of God? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God, which includes male and female, because in Christ there's neither male nor female. There's neither Jew nor Greek. But it's interesting. It's not weird. It's not flaky. It's not crazy. It's scriptural. We're all sons, and yet there's male and female, and yet we're all the bride. We're all His bride. I'm telling you right now, you know, the wisdom of God is foolishness to this world, but not to us who believe. Christ is the power of God. He is the wisdom of God. I'm sort of getting into my sermon a little bit, but I'm telling you, He's a big deal. I'm telling you, Jesus is a big deal, guys. I'm telling you, we get to believe and love Him having not seen Him. And we get to rejoice, and we get to do it by faith. And this pleases our Father so much. But I'm telling you, there's coming a time we were singing the song, He's My Everything. There's a time when we'll see Him face to face. And it's going to be personal. He's going to take you personally on a one-on-one trip with just Him. Because He created you. He sent your spirit from heaven to your mother's womb because you existed before you were even conceived. And He desired and wanted you here for such a time as this. But remember, the primary reason is the very primary reason from the very beginning. He wanted someone here that would walk with Him and fellowship with Him in the cool of the day. He loves us. Amen. Well, at this time, we'll worship the Lord in our giving. If you need an envelope, if you didn't get one, just raise your hand. Brother Lee and Brother Jim will get one to you if you need one. Amen. Hallelujah. He loves us so. He loves us so. Amen. You can't exhaust love. It never, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 says love never fades away. It never fails. It never comes to an end. It's the greatest thing going. And the more we can dwell in it, what do you mean dwell in it? The more we can think, the more we can be mindful. It affects your heart. Matter of fact, it's the very thing that drives faith. If it's Bible faith, if it's really active and effectual, something's got to drive it. It's not works. It's not self-effort. It's not white-knuckling it. It's not gritting your teeth. Even though sometimes all of us have done all these things. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I mean, it's good to have some backbone. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a faith which works by love. Hallelujah. And the more you can go there in your heart and in your mind, the better off you will be. That's where the rest comes. That's where the peace comes to you. That's where the winds quit blowing in your soul and your mind. That's when you get the calm on the inside of you. That's why Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live in this flesh, the way I think, the way I live, the way I move, is this. He loves me, and He gave Himself for me. Hallelujah. That empowers the faith. What is faith? Faith is a rest. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but if I went and got in the car right now, I'd be fine. I'm talking about as far as, people get all kinds of definitions about, church, and church was good today. Church was good. I like what one grandma said one time, and that's Pentecostal, I think one of her kids come home and said, "Oh, Mom, we had a stem winder today. We had a stem winder today. Church was awesome." "Oh, really?" "Yeah." She said, "Yeah." I said, "We ran. We ran." She said, "Running's good." And then she said, "Oh, Mom, we just didn't run, but we danced." "Oh," she said, "Oh, wow." She said, "That the dancing's good." Oh, listen, Mama, we just didn't run and dance. We jumped and shouted." "Oh," she said, "shouting and jumping's good." She said, "What about tomorrow? You're gonna run and jump and shout and dance tomorrow and over maybe about a week from now or 3 or 4 days from now?" And listen, she wasn't against any of that. Do you know we have a more sure word of prophecy? Thank God for manifestations. Thank God for, listen, and there are different manifestations of the Spirit. Even if an angel were to appear, and listen, it's Bible, you know. It's New Covenant. And we would embrace it, and we would receive it. But do you know we have something that's more sure? You know Jesus is the surety of this New Covenant. You know that He is the Word made flesh. He's everything that, when I said He's a big deal a while ago, this is Him, right? All of this is about Him. Listen, everything points to what He would do. Everything, listen, when He is the head of all principality and power, He is the head of all principality and power. All things, not some things, not many things, all things were created by Him and for Him. And you know what? You were created for His pleasure. You know, we used to sing that song, "Thou art worthy." You remember that? "Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, glory and honor, glory and honor and power." Why? "For Thou hast created all things created. Thou hast created all things." Listen to this. "And for Thy pleasure they are created. Thou art worthy, O Lord." That's an old song, but it's not old. It's the reality. Isn't He wonderful? Praise God. You know, I think about this. Guys, y'all go ahead and pass the buckets. I think about this from time to time, and even I know I mention it here, but, you know, I try to, you know, we can imagine. God gave us an imagination. You know, sometimes the devil perverts it, and he'll try to come and get you to imagine vain things. You know, the Scripture said, why did the people imagine vain things? Well, you know, we can imagine, but it don't have to be vain. Oh, I tell you what, we can imagine. I imagine at times what it was like. Of course, He left. He met with them. But He left and He went back to be with His Father, just like He's there now. I'm talking about bodily. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And yet they would gather in their homes. Many of the believers would gather in houses. You know, they would sometimes they'd go to the synagogues because there'd be teaching stuff there. But a lot of times they just had church in their homes. That's the early church. That's where they met. Greet the church in so-and-so's house. Priscilla and Aquila, all these times they would meet. But I wonder, what was their heart? What did they entertain when they would gather? And their mind would go to Him. I'm talking about the believers. When they would gather there, what would be in their imagination? Their heart, you know, of course, I realized back then he hadn't been raised too many years past when they were gathering. But still, wow. I mean, and still believe. And yet they were worshiping, mindful of Him. I tell you what, He had their attention. He had their heart. He had their heart. When they come together, listen, He had their heart. It was fresh. Hallelujah. I read about Cornelius, even about 10 years or so after his resurrection. You know, a devout man. Had a heart towards God, just didn't know how to get there. But I'll tell you what, if you'll stay steady, the Bible says godliness is profitable for this life and the life that now is and the life which is to come. God will get it to you, through you, how He needs to do it. You just stay with it. I'm telling you, and God moved upon Peter. I mean, supernaturally. He said, go to his house. Tell him words whereby he and his house can be saved. And he did. And the Holy Ghost fell right in the middle of the service. You know, that can still happen today. I mean, I'm telling you, you know why? Because I believe when Peter was sitting there preaching the gospel, we read in Acts chapter 10, their hearts, I'm talking about Cornelius and his house and the people he invited there, there was a presence there. Their hearts were receptive. Their hearts were open. Their hearts desired that which is of God and that which God would provide. And yet Peter proclaimed the provision of the Father to humanity and even to Cornelius and his household. His name is Jesus. And through this man we receive forgiveness of our sins. And when he said that, something happened on the inside of Cornelius and that bunch at that moment. Listen, I'll guarantee you, they believed every word that was being said. And because that faith was operating in them, boom! Holy Ghost manifested. Showed up and they begin to speak in tongues and magnify God. I tell you what, when you speak in tongues, you magnify God too. There's other things that you do when you pray in the Spirit, but I'm telling you, one of the things you do is you magnify God. You're magnifying the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's make this legal this morning. Let's go in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians. We're in our study of 1 Corinthians, and let's go there just for a few minutes. And as you're turning to 1 Corinthians, I'll go ahead and pray. Father, thank you once again for this opportunity to gather here this morning in the wonderful and majestic name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. And Father, we thank you for your word. We open up our hearts this morning, and we receive the engrafted word, the incorruptible seed that lives and abides forever, that which brings life to us, that which even is medicine and health to our flesh. We give you all the praise and honor. Holy Spirit, thank you for helping us this morning. Thank you for granting and giving utterance in the Holy Ghost. And thank you for bringing light and understanding and impartation and edifying each one of us in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Boy, I tell you what, praise God. His words are life. His words are creative. His words is like the rain and the snow that comes down from heaven. It accomplishes things, Isaiah said. I mean, it prospers. His word creates and brings change. We understand and know that the worlds were framed by His Word. And His words this morning are the same because He's the same. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians. You know what? I'm going to do this on purpose. I'm making myself do this without going back. I'm not going back to the first part of the verses. I'm going to start in verse 18 and I know, not 9. I mean, I could go back. You know, I got to thinking about this. I was meditating. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, there is so much in these scriptures. I mean, you could spend a long time. And we've already spent 3 or 4 weeks just in the first few verses here. But I could spend some more time in the first few verses. I could spend another month or two in the first few verses. Because when he talks about you've been called into fellowship, when he talks about beseeching us, inquiring of us that we would all be of the same mind and of the same judgment and that we would speak the same thing and that there'd be no division among us. Oh, praise the Lord. When he talked about people beginning to have thoughts like, well, I'm of Paul. No, I'm of Apollos. No, I'm of Cephas. I'm of this or I'm of that. Not recognizing the body, what the body really is. I know this. The Lord has spoken to me on different occasions. And, of course, we see this thought even later on in his letter when he talks about the body of Christ. And he talks about, he said, there's different ministries and ministrations. There's different ministries. But here's what he said. Two things. Same Spirit, same Lord. Now, we know that there's the spirit of Antichrist, and we know that there are things that are not God. We all get that. But what I'm talking about and what Paul was addressing is how that sometimes we begin to judge and make judgments of other parts of our body in a wrong manner. And the Scripture tells us, you can't, your eye can't say to your hand, I don't need you. I mean, listen, There's other teachings that we need out there. Now, listen to what I'm saying. Take it in the spirit of what I'm saying. There's other teachings out there besides grace or faith that we need, that the Bible talks about. And there's people that God has anointed to minister along those lines. And it's for the body of Christ. We need them. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyway, I'm not going there. I got to move on. All right, I got to move on. Let's go to verse 18. Are you ready? It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is the power of God? The preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross. We've looked at Romans chapter 1 before where Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. And in the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed. So there has to be a righteousness being revealed to us through the preaching and teaching about Jesus, right? We know the grace of Christ, according to Galatians chapter 1, is the gospel. But we also see here that the preaching of the cross is the gospel as well. Why? Because that's where the great exchange took place. It doesn't mean that we don't need the resurrection, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ was not raised from the dead, then all of our preaching would be in vain. I mean, you can cover any subject that you want to. You can pull out any topic in the Bible and try to preach and teach it, but if Jesus was not raised from the dead, it does not matter. We would be men most miserable. But we have a blessed hope. I'm telling you right now, I'm just going ahead and declare it because it's the reality. You need to just get it in your head. Get it in on the inside of you. Get it on the inside of you. The rest of your life will be the best of your life.
Amen.
Well, I just don't know how things are going to turn out. No, listen. I promise you, it's sort of like Elisha talking to Gehazi, his servant, and saying, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Help him to see the reality of what's really real. Let me tell you, we have a blessed hope, and this hope purifies us. It causes us, listen, Paul says it causes us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. Because we know that this stuff is not in vain. It is true, it's true, it's true, it's true. Why? Because Jesus is the truth. What do you mean the truth? You know, Jim's been in courts. You know, raise your right hand. I solemnly swear. I don't know the whole thing, but to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me, God. You know what? When somebody says they're going to tell the truth, here's another way to say that. Here's another way to say that. I'm going to tell you what really happened. Because, see, they're going to get questioned about what happened or what's going on or what's really real. I mean, somebody, this side over here is telling us this and this side is telling us this. Somebody's lying. I've sat in a few counseling sessions like that. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, you're sitting there, and I mean, somebody is saying, this is it, and this is the way it is. With it. And then I'm saying, no, this is the way it is. And I'm going, I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, brethren, that there be no division among you. No. When they raise their hand, they're saying, I'm going to tell the truth. But what they're saying is, I'm going to tell the reality. I'm going to tell you what really happened. Reality. One translation even says, Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the reality, I'm the life. People like reality TV. And most of it is, I mean, not all of it. I'm not saying all of it, so just listen to me. Most of it's so carnal, it's not spiritual. Jesus is the reality. Oh, hallelujah. Get your reality from Him. Get your identity from Him. And listen, you get your identity from the preaching and the teaching of the cross. It's the power of God for us who believe. I'm telling you, it's the great exchange. That's where He took your bad and you get His good. That's where He took and bore your sin, but you get His righteousness. That's where He bore your sickness and pain and disease and everything that you would ever encounter here. He took that upon Himself to provide and make provision for you to receive health and strength in life. Praise the Lord. For it is written, verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. In other words, when it says the world by wisdom, it's talking about man's wisdom, their own wisdom. Man's own wisdom knew not God. God showed up in human form, and they did not know Him. Somebody, I've heard people say, yeah, but if Jesus came back today and manifested like He did back then, it'd be different. No, it wouldn't. I'm telling you right now, it would not be different. Because that same Spirit is still here. I mean, we've seen this stuff lately. I mean, the mentality of society, hate, it's almost like, Brother Joe was saying, crucify Him, crucify Him. But listen to me, we're not ignorant, the Bible says. And the Bible has told us in the last days this is the way it would be. Men would be lovers of themselves. Perilous times would be here. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. His second epistle. Men would be lovers of themselves. They would be ungrateful, unthankful, lovers of pleasure. I've got to stop that. Praise God. I've got to keep moving. Listen, the wisdom of this world knew not God. It pleased God. Now, here's what I want to sort of focus on. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I want to keep reading. And then I'll come back because I'm going to make myself cover some more ground here so I can get to chapter 2. You know, after you spend weeks, you need to finally get to chapter 2. You know what I mean? Listen to this. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, under the Jews a stumbling block, and under the Greeks foolishness. But under them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Let me tell you something. I don't... I don't know what it would be like at this point to go through life without a consciousness of Jesus, without my Savior, without a mindedness and of Him. I don't know what it's like. Now, listen. I know there's times, like I said, there's distractions out there and things can try to get your mind off, and we all deal with that at times. But to be able to go through life and just live this life and try to deal with life without a relationship with Him and without acknowledging Him. You know, we're to acknowledge Him in all of our ways, the Bible says. It's least good to acknowledge Him in some of your ways. You know what I mean? But for people to live a life and don't acknowledge Him in any of their ways, that's foolishness. It's not wise. Jesus is the answer. We were singing about that in our song. Jesus is the answer. He is the wisdom of God. Anything that we would ever need that would be wisdom to us in our lives. Listen, I quoted 1 Timothy 4:8, for godliness is profitable for the life that now is and the life which is to come. Anything that we would ever need, any kind of wisdom that would help us here in our lives for any situation, it is connected to the cross. Your heart, your spirit, your inward man, your soul has to connect itself to the redemption that is through His blood and what He gave us. That's your provision. That's the baseline. That's your foundation. All other ground is sinking sand. Even as you work in society and you go work, God, I've said this before, God will bless you and God will give you money. When I say God give you money, God's behind it. And you'll get paid and you can pay your bills and all of this. But really it's about God positioning you to be in a place of influence, because your prosperity, first and foremost, is connected to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor. And He did that at the cross. See, the preaching of the cross, that's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom that you need in this life to deal with things in your life. And the wisdom that God provides for you, that is really wisdom, when I said He's the reality, the real wisdom that you need is Jesus and what He did for you at the cross. Because you cannot take these scriptures apart. The preaching of the cross is the power of God to us who believe. It's foolishness to the world, but it's the power of God to us. And the wisdom that you need in this life will always have to be connected to what took place at Calvary's tree. And I'll include His resurrection. Like I said, it's through His death, burial, and resurrection, and what that would do for us. That's the wisdom. That's God's wisdom to you and me. Christ is the wisdom of God. The anointed one and His anointing. The supply of His Spirit. The presence and the power that He brings to your life through what He did. That's wisdom for you. It would be wise for you and me to set our attention on that. Matter of fact, Paul says something here just in a few verses down. That's what he did. But I want to say this. Here's another little side journey here. It's God who chose the foolishness of preaching to save people who believe. Now, we know the word save is all-inclusive. It don't just mean getting to go to heaven. It includes that. But it's the word soterior, Greek word sozo. Let me just say it like this. It affects you spirit, soul, and body. Everything about your life. The total man. And then listen to this. Now, this is God's doing. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save people. So how important is it to hear the Word? I'm talking about not just the new birth experience. We know, listen, you remember Romans 10? How shall they call upon him? Romans 10:14. How shall they call upon him in whom they have not heard? Or how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard? You know what I'm saying? They can't call, but I think it's like this. You can't call unless you believe. That's the first thing. And you can't believe unless you hear. Okay? Why? Because what you hear affects your heart and it brings faith to your heart. And see? And then it causes your heart to believe. The believing takes place first. Paul said it like this, the spirit of faith believes and therefore it speaks. That's the protocol. Your heart has to be changed and affected first, but the only way it's affected is by hearing. That's why James talked about the doer of the word in James chapter 1 is the one who's not a forgetful hearer. So the doing primarily in that verse, I mean, there's other things we can do is being what we call doers of the word, but really in context, the doing of the word in James chapter 1 is the person who's not a forgetful hearer, but the person who continues to hear and hear, and it allows him to behold himself as in a mirror. He begins to hear, and what he hears causes his heart to believe. That incorruptible seed grows up and becomes. It becomes what? It becomes what that seed is. In your heart, in your life, it manifests itself. God has chose the foolishness of preaching. Jesus talked about the parable of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is as a man would cast seed into the ground. We talked about this the first of the year, about the kingdom principles and the parable of the sower specifically. But God has chosen the foolishness of preaching. That's why I listen. You can help people in many ways. And there's different ways that we do help people and love people and serve people and bless people. But I'm going to tell you something. God has chose what everybody else would consider foolishness. God has chosen that means and method to save people, to heal people, to deliver people. It's the preaching and teaching of His Word. 2/3 of Jesus' ministry was teaching and preaching. And now listen, He did many miracles and He did a lot of things, but anytime He encountered, listen to me, you can go look it up in your Bible, anytime He encountered situations where there were not manifestations of healings and miracles, what was the answer? He went back, you can look it up. I looked it up last night late. Y'all were asleep, or most of you were. He would go and He would begin to preach and teach. Why? Because He's the one who revealed Romans 10 to Paul. You cannot believe unless you hear. Can't. It's designed. God has chosen this method. So that's why it's important. When you deal with situations in your life, I remember years ago, and I learned this from Brother Hagin, and I bring him up because the Holy Spirit brings this up to me. He said this. People would have all kinds of situations. He'd say, "What scripture? What scripture are you standing on?" In other words, what scripture are you listening to? What scripture are you reading? What are you looking at? What are you listening to? Why? Because He knows that word, listen, it's not void of power. It's incorruptible. It's life. It's medicine. And it'll affect your heart. It'll change you on the inside. It makes the connection with your spirit and the divine realm, the divine nature. God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. It's by these, the promises, that we partake of the divine realm, the divine nature. It's by these. That's the method. God has chose the foolishness of preaching, and He's not changing His mind. And when Jesus encountered situations in His own life and ministry where He didn't see the manifestations that He needed to see, I'm not saying He didn't pray about it. because Jesus spent time in prayer. But it ain't just about continuing to pray or lay hands sometimes. It's about people need to hear. That's why Paul prayed for the church that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. That we be able to comprehend this love. What do you mean this love? Because everything is demonstrated, this love is demonstrated and commended to us through Jesus at the cross. You've heard me say this before. You get your definition, or love defined in your life. John said it like this. This is the love of God. Not that we love Him, but that He loves us and gave Himself for us and commended Himself for us. The more you focus on that and you begin to look and look at scriptures and look at the truth in these epistles where Jesus gave Himself, and you listen to that and you listen on teaching about it and you feed your heart on it, it affects your heart. It produces faith. And listen, and when I say it produces faith, grace is connected, because everything that your faith should be connected in is the person who is full of grace and truth. His name is Jesus. When I said Jesus is a big deal, He's a big deal. Our eyes have to be on Him. Our eyes have to focus. We see types and shadows of this. Remember when they raised the serpent up on the pole? Snakes crawling all around them. And as long as they would behold and look upon that on that serpent on that pole, it was a type of Christ. It didn't matter what was going on around them. They lived. Can I finish this up? Well, no, I can't. I can't do it because I'm going to skip over some verses, and I can't skip over those verses. I'd be skipping over. I wanted to go to the second chapter in verse 2 where Paul said, I've determined, and you have to determine too. I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What he's saying there is, I'm telling you, I've determined in my heart, that is my answer. That's where I bring every thought to. Jesus obeyed the Father. He was obedient unto death. I bring every thought captive to His obedience. He died for me. He loved me. He redeemed me. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He's redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I will magnify the cross. I will magnify the blood. I am forgiven of all things. Yes, I may have made a mistake. Yes, we've all, at times when it comes to what we call the wisdom of this world, we've not made the right choice maybe. Maybe we did something that the devil says, well, you'll never recover. It's a setback of the ages. You'll never get to where you ever was because of this or that. No, because of His blood, because He bore my sin, that is so sufficient that it's like it has a Holy Ghost GPS system attached to it. You may got off course, but that Holy Ghost GPS system, because of the blood of Jesus, will take you around the country, the backside 40, and bring you out and put you at the destination you wanted to be all along. It'll put you in the divine place and the divine will of God, and it don't matter from that point on. I like that t-shirt that Buzzy had. It had that words written on it, big bold letters. The devil said, what? It don't matter. Let him huff and puff. Your house is built on Christ. I've determined not to know anything. And he can puff all he wants to. And he will. The Bible, Jesus done told us that he will. So we're not surprised. Peter, by revelation of the Lord himself, said, don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange when, well, I just don't know. I don't know why. Don't think it's strange. He said it would. And he said things would gather, Isaiah, but he said, it's not me behind it. But here's what the Lord said to you. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. They may form, but they don't have to prosper. They don't have to take you out. They'll try to tell you they're taking you out, but you stand your ground. And you declare that your righteousness is of God, that Jesus is your righteousness. Because we're going to get down here at the end of this first chapter where it says, Jesus was made unto us. Wisdom. Jesus is made unto us righteousness. Jesus is He's our sanctification. He's the one who separated us and delivered us from darkness, and He's put us over when we believed on Him. Hallelujah. And He is our redemption. That's why you determine to set your focus, and you get your eyes on Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things on this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I've done it again. Praise the Lord. I'm about totally stirred up again. You know, you can stir yourself up. You can encourage yourself in the Lord. Aren't you glad that Jesus is touched with the feeling of our infirmities? Have you ever felt unspiritual at all? Have you ever been put in a predicament, maybe that somebody called you to pray, or you needed to pray for something, and maybe it be something in the house, or something happened, or you got news, or you opened up a letter in the bill, or a bill or something come in the mail, and you really wasn't expecting that, or something happened, and it could be that, you know, you had the car fixed and you were just expecting, hey, this thing may maybe have $75 or so, $100, $120, and the guy says, that'll be $475. And you go, what? Yeah. I mean, I was just getting my oil changed. What do you mean $400 for an oil change? Yeah, but you had this and this and this. Was open. I mean, I was doing fine before I showed up here. All I just wanted is some new oil in my engine. Listen, I'm telling you, these things like this, let me tell you something. The only two things that we know that he can even try to deal with you, he tries to come to your, he uses the flesh or the mind. That's the only two areas, because your spirit is sealed. Listen, you're a done deal. You're complete in Him. And listen, and you just have to rub it in His face. You seen the commercial? If you watch a few ball games, and they got this, I don't know if it's a Dr. Pepper commercial or something, where this guy and this girl, they're standing in a breezeway of a football game or something like that, and you can tell they're sort of like each other. But one of them is for one team and the other one's in the other team. And all of a sudden, it seems for a moment, because of the Dr. Pepper connection, that they're going to finally be in love. And they almost reach out to give each other a little smooch. And all of a sudden, the girl hears the score of her team. Her team just scored and beat the other guy. And she backs out and goes, in your face! Well, that's what you have to do to the devil. You have to open up the Word of God, and you have to be reminded of an exceeding great and precious promise that is specifically told you by Him. And you just have to go to the devil and read it out loud and go, in your face! He loves us, don't He? He's good to us. He loves us so much. He gave Himself for us. And I'm telling you, just like the early church, they were appointed by God because God knew exactly who He needed to be where they needed to be. But He also knew that they didn't need to be where we are now. God wanted us where we are. And Paul said to the church at Ephesus, he said, this whole thing, we're all included. The apostles and the prophets are not above us, because God's not a respecter of person. He said, we're all included in this thing. This whole thing's built upon Jesus. And this whole thing is fitly framed of building a habitation of God in the Spirit. And I'm telling you, our house is on solid ground, because we've determined to magnify the cross, to magnify that God raised him from the dead for our justification and for our righteousness. In other words, to put us in a position that he desired us to be in, a standing, a spiritual place that we are. And we glorify our Father for it. So, Father, we thank you this morning for this time and here today, for this fellowship that we have with you and with one another. And we just declare our freedom. We declare our redemption. We declare that Jesus is our wisdom. And Lord, we put ourselves in position. Your word and the preaching and teaching of your word, it is not foolish. Not to us, Lord. It's life. It's medicine. And we endeavor to incline our ear, to open up our hearts continually to hear, because your words are spirit and they are life to us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.